Could we turn, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 17? First Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines, verse 1, gathered together their armies to battle. Verse 2, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together. Verse 3, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Down to verse 8. And he, Goliath, stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I'm just going to stop there for now. What I have on my heart for a few minutes is the subject of impossible situations, or really I have two titles, how one person can make a difference. Even a young person. You know, this man, Goliath, was a formidable opponent. And we hear it often in children's meetings. Over 9 feet tall and it was upper body armor, 125 pounds. Just the head of his spear, 15 pounds. Some of us have trouble just lifting it. He was a giant. And this man, his intent was to keep the Israelites in bondage. That's what he said. If we win, you're going to be our slaves, our servants. And we read that the Israelites, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, likely you and I will never meet a physical opponent like this. But you're not saved very long in your Christian life before you come across situations where there are giants, where there are situations that seem impossible. And these situations that seem impossible can cause us fear, just like the Israelites, and they can keep us in bondage so that we can't serve the Lord. We don't serve the Lord the way He wants us to. You say, what are you talking about? I think of the formidable obstacle of our flesh. Do you have habits that you know need to change? And you've tried, and there just doesn't seem to be change. It's causing you grief, maybe causes others grief, and it seems like an impossible situation, and you think, how can God use me when I'm like this? Habits that you can't get over. Habits that seem impossible to overcome. Then there's the obstacle of the world, the tremendous pressure, whether it's at school, at work, wherever, and you don't seem to fit in. We don't fit in. It's so hard to see people saved, so hard to make a dent, and it just seems impossible. And I could go on, but I'm just going to stop there. Except to say this. But there may be seemingly impossible situations in your personal life, in the home, in the assembly, at work, at school. And these situations are impossible if we try to fight it in our own strength, but they're not impossible with God. Into this situation, here's the Goliath. You know, there's a great valley. The Israelites here, the Philistines there. There was one young man who came into this situation. He was willing to go down into the valley to make a difference. Now, he had no natural guarantee what was going to happen. But he was trusting the living God. And you know, I was just thinking this morning, a lot of times we're not willing to go into the valley. We want to stay on the mountaintop. But you know, sometimes it's in the valleys, in the difficulties, against these impossible situations, that the greatest victories are won. Read with me now in verse 12 about this young man. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. Verse 13. I'm just going to skip through this for the sake of time. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. Verse 14. And David was the youngest. Down with me to verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. Verse 23. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. Verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the naughtiness or the wickedness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You know, David really, on the surface, wasn't a likely candidate to do much about this situation. The Israelites there in bondage, scared to death. He was the youngest son. He wasn't a career soldier. He was just a young man. And one thing I see there, that God often uses ordinary people. Isn't that what we see in the Scriptures? Again and again, God uses ordinary people. And I think, is it Hudson Taylor? Somebody has said that all God's giants have been weak people who have allowed God to be their strength. Now, David was doing what he was supposed to do. His father told him to go check on his brothers. He was being obedient, and yet in the path of obedience, he comes to this impossible situation. Brother, sister, don't think it's unusual. If you're seeking to live for God, as far as you know, you're doing the will of God, and there comes some impossible situation. Listen, the situation is not impossible for God. And often, that's where we get to know God. Well, when David started to inquire about what was going on, I enjoyed what he said. He says, we put it this way, who's this unsaved Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Well, he got some flack from his brother, some criticism. Eliab thought he knew what David should be doing. Listen, most of us have trouble enough knowing the will of the Lord for ourselves, let alone anybody else. And yet some people seem to think they know what we should be doing. Now, I want to say this. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. And I know I've tried to make it a habit in my life, any major decisions, not to just go on my own understanding, but to talk to others. And young people, how important it is to have a network of friends and people that you trust, that you can go to for advice. Very important. But David was criticized. But notice what he says. In verse 29, He says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Brother, sister, do you feel like giving up? Does the way seem difficult? And there's a mountain of difficulty, an impossible situation before you, and it seems like you've hit the wall as far as serving God. Listen, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Listen, God has saved you and me for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose. There are multitudes all around us. And I know the world seems so indifferent to the gospel. But multitudes need the message God has entrusted to you. You say, what can I do? It seems like an impossibility. That can be just the beginning. There's tremendous need among God's people. You know, sometimes we just can only see our own problems, our own deficiencies, but you know, you start visiting with a few people and get out there and you find out what tremendous need there is. Is there not a cause? You know, God has given us a reason for living. He's given us a true purpose. Before I was saved, I never found anything that I could do with all my heart. Since I've been saved, I wish I'd served the Lord with more in my heart. I'm not saying that. But He's given us a purpose. Is there not a cause? The furtherance of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in verse 31, please. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went on after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now, here, the leader, Saul, the king, tries to discourage David. He says, you can't go. David says, I'll go against this giant. I'll go. Saul says, you can't go. You're just a youth. Now, David didn't give him a tongue lashing. He respected his position admirably. But he gives him a reason why he should go. And he talks about the time when he was taking care of his father's sheep. And a bear came and a lion came. And God helped him to overcome these obstacles. And he says in verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. What do we learn from that? Brother, sister, those day-to-day battles that you fight may be when no one's looking. They prepare us for the big events. Likely when David was taking care of the sheep, there might not have been anybody around for miles. And yet here he trusted God. God helped him, amazingly, against a bear and a lion. Don't wait to get to know God until crisis time. Those battles that we each face day by day, sometimes impossible situations, when we learn to trust God in those situations, I'll tell you, just like David said, I mean, the giant looked impossible, but he said, if the Lord helped me there, he can help me here. See, David had proved God. look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Now, you know, Saul means well here. He puts his armor on David. And you know, sometimes people mean well. If they're just looking at the situation naturally, they might try to be a help. But what we need is a spiritual perspective. We need friends who have a spiritual perspective that can really help us. Saul was really no help to David at all. If David had gone out with that armor on, he probably would have lost. But what I see here is we can't fight battles with somebody else's armor. You know, it's wonderful to hear about, you know, maybe missionaries and the exploits that God has enabled them to do on the foreign field and this one and that one. It's good. But you can't fight your battles just from their experiences. You know, in Ephesians 6, God talks about the Christian's armor. I won't go into all the details of it, but you know, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Brother, we need to get to know, we need to use these things day by day so that when the crisis comes, we'll be ready. David was ready. Now, who would have thought years before he's a young man taking care of sheep that he'd ever be king of Israel? And maybe you think, well, who am I? You know, I've only been saved a few years and, you know, I'm having problems with this, that, and the other. Listen, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. All he wants us to do is to trust him day by day, moment by moment, and let him lead and guide us. He has saved you to use you to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's able to do that. But we limit him so often, because we get our eyes on the impossible situation and forget that he's the living God. He's God Almighty. Verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly, everybody assembled there, shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now, I realize most are familiar with 1 Samuel 17, very familiar story. But, brother, sister, if it's just a story, if it just goes one ear and out the other, we've missed a lot. Or if we think, well, you know, this is a good story for children's meetings, for Sunday school, and lots of lessons in it in the gospel, if we just limit it to that, we miss a lot. Listen, if you're not facing an impossible situation now, you may. And the rest of your Christian life may depend on how you handle this situation. God wants us to be prepared. You know, I don't think I would have wanted to be in David's shoes. You know, against this giant with all his armament, and he just takes five stones out of the water. Five stones. That's all he had. That's what he was used to. He was used to using it day by day. Are you used to using the Word of God day by day so that it's real to you? So that when crunch time comes, you're able to use the Word of God against the spiritual forces of opposition, of darkness? All David had was the Lord, really. But that's all he needed. I thank God for times like this. It thrills me to be able to be here with so many, to sing these hymns that we sang at the beginning of this meeting, with the Lord in our midst. What a privilege. A little foretaste of what it's going to be like in the coming day. But on Monday, we go out there, don't we? What's going to happen? You know, David had opposition on a number of fronts. There was his brother tried to criticize him. Saul tried to discourage him and then really not be much of a help when he tried to put his own armor on him. But then when David gets right to the nitty-gritty now, he's face-to-face with Goliath. Goliath just like roars at him and tells him he's going to give his flesh to the birds and the beasts. Satan has tremendous power. I hope we don't underestimate him. Peter writes that he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We are no match for him. David was no match for Goliath on his own. But notice what David said. He says, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And, you know, David's goal here wasn't to show off, to show that he's the best sling shooter, or whatever the term is, in Israel. At the end of verse 46, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. At school, in the workplace, wherever. That everybody there may know that there's a God in this world. Seen in you and me. And then in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, not by physical means, not by means of our abilities. But he says, for the battle is the Lord's. What tremendous words. Brother and sister, that battle you're facing, God wants you to know, it's not your battle, it's His battle. You belong to Him? Listen, we belong to Him lock, stock, and barrel. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. He wants to fight our battles. The battle is the Lord's. We'll just mess up if we try to do it ourselves. You say, well, you know, I've looked to the Lord and I've fallen on my face time again. Nothing has changed. You know, it's impossible. Well, listen, Peter once said to the Lord, "To whom shall we go?" Listen, there is nowhere else to go. If you've gone to the Lord 100 times, keep going to the Lord. Don't count Him out. There's nobody else that can help. Sometimes God tests us. You know, sometimes we'll ask the Lord a couple of times, and if it doesn't work, well, we're ready to turn our back on Him and say, well, you know, where's God anyway? Well, quite an ending. Impossible situation was flat on the ground. Can God do that with your situation? Yes, He can. Are we willing to let God run the show? Are we willing to let God do it His way? With God, nothing is impossible. And it encourages me that there was one young man who trusted God, and he made a difference. Brother, sister, you can be the person. You can be the one. Because it doesn't depend on you and me. It depends on God. You can be the one to make a difference.